All right. Hello, everyone, and good morning. I'd just like to start by making sure you can hear me because there was a Paltalk upgrade. Okay, good. Yay. You never know when Paltalk upgrades. So super. I'm glad y'all can hear me. So welcome to our weekly gathering on this April 15th, midway through the month of April. It's good to see you all. And we will start our gathering by giving everyone the opportunity to greet one another on the board while I play our theme song, We Are Awakening by Deborah Premal and Mitten.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
All right, again, good morning. My speakers were doing something a little weird there, so our music may be a little strange this morning. I noticed they're popping back and forth. Seems like every few years I have to get new stereo speakers. The speakers don't seem to last as long as the computer. Let me start by sharing a statement of purpose that's related to today's gathering. And this statement of purpose is not our purpose statement or one of our core values. It actually comes from the description on our core values page that precedes our statement of purpose, but it felt right for today. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And today's gathering is about resistance. And so this is why I selected this portion of our spirituality page, our core values page, in order to share as our statement of purpose today. But before we get into the devotional part of our service, let's look at our announcements for the week. Tomorrow is the last day to register for Jesus of the New Testament. If you know anything about Christian mysticism, then you know that for centuries there have been Christian mystics who have contemplated the Bible exactly as it is written, and yet have awakened to truth. And it's interesting that these mystics should be able to find truth through contemplation of the Bible, when Christianity doesn't seem to be able to do the same thing. So the question is, what did these mystics see in the teachings that traditional Christianity is unable to see? And in this class, Jesus of the New Testament, you are going to learn how to contemplate the scripture just like the mystics did, and you'll learn how to discover that answer for yourself. Learning to contemplate and see with wisdom is a powerful skill that you can use beyond the Bible, obviously. And so that's the skill that this class teaches. This class will meet on Thursday evenings beginning April 26th through May 17th. It's a 4-week class. It will meet from 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time, which is 4:30 to 6:30 Pacific. And it will be facilitated by Reverend Helen Avery. And in fact, when she facilitates that class, she'll be right back fresh off of a silent retreat with Muji. The cost of this 4-week class is $80. Again, tomorrow is the last day to register because the homework, your contemplation will begin this week, even though the first class is next week. So the last day to register is the 16th. The cost is $80. And you can learn more at awakening-together.org under retreats and classes and then classes. And again, the class is Jesus of the New Testament. We currently have 18 people registered for our Italy pilgrimage, and there are 3 others who have shared their intention to go on the pilgrimage with me, but they haven't registered, so that might mean that we're up to 21 people. Of course, there's definitely still room for others. Right now, I have reserved enough space through the travel agent for 30 people, but I have the option of letting them know there'll be more, if there will be more. So there's plenty of room to grow. We've been sharing with you all about the itinerary a little at a time, and we have shared all of day one with you about our morning at the Vatican, our afternoon at the Holy Stairs, and in the St. John's Basilica. So today I'd like to start talking about day two of our itinerary in Italy. And it's interesting because the first thing we will do on day two is visit the Roman Colosseum. And then we will go south of Rome and visit the catacombs of St. Sebastian. The Colosseum is a symbol of the ego. And we will contemplate the ego as we look at the Colosseum. And then the catacombs of St. Sebastian is the symbol of going deep within. And so we'll have the contrast of both the Colosseum and the catacombs. Interestingly, we're going to be contemplating the symbol of the Colosseum and the catacombs. But if you look at Roman history, you will know that at the time that Christians were being thrown into what they called the games, Christians were being fed to wild animals in the Colosseum. At the same time, Christians were also in the catacombs praying and contemplating. You know, at the exact same time, these two things were happening in Roman history. And so again, we'll be able to go to the Colosseum and contemplate the ego and the way it is within ourselves, of course. And then we'll be able to go directly to the catacombs of St. Sebastian and contemplate the power of going deeply within. Now, there are a number of catacombs in the Roman area. The reason I selected the catacombs of St. Sebastian has to do with a particular person named St. Philip Neri, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. But the catacombs of St. Sebastian are also very famous because they were once called the Apostolic Memorial. It's actually an underground Christian graveyard, and portions of Peter and Paul's body used to be buried there. And the lives and deaths of Peter and Paul were celebrated there. And hundreds of graffitic writings about Peter and Paul have been found on the walls of the tunnels. And so most people go and visit because of this. But again, I was inspired to visit more because of Saint Philip Neri. And let me tell you about Saint Philip Neri, because I know many of you maybe have not heard of him. He lived from between the years 1515 and 1595. He was known as a man of the common people. And here's what he taught. He taught people to trust their intuition and to follow their heart's guidance in finding God. Doesn't that sound like the teachings of Awakening Together? He was known for his big heart and his sense of humor and his loving and accepting personality. He loved and accepted people. So here's his relationship to these particular catacombs. When Saint Philip first became interested in the spiritual path and interested in awakening, he spent 4 years in rigorous study of theology. Does that sound familiar? Many of us have done the same, right? We start off by studying. So he spent 4 years in rigorous study of theology. And then, after much prayer, he decided to put into his being in order to give himself more completely to God. And at night, in the daytime, he would talk to people about his faith in God and about finding God through following your heart's guidance. But at night, he would spend time in prayer, and his most favorite to go was the catacombs of Saint Sebastian. He would go down into the catacombs and enter into silent communion with God. And it was here that he had a transformative encounter, which is known as his awakening. It says, while praying, a globe of fire entered his mouth and heart, and he experienced such an intense heat that he threw himself to the floor and bared his chest to cool down. When he stood up, he felt a swelling around his heart, and his body shook with overwhelming joy. For the remainder of his life, he would feel this intense joy. And in fact, he would undergo heart palpitations of joy so strong that people could feel that joy transmitted throughout an entire room when he was present. Yeah, sounds like a Kundalini awakening. And that was his experience down in the cavern. So, since he seems to be a man after our own heart, teaching people to trust intuition and follow their heart's guidance, having an accepting personality, being a man of the common people, and he used the catacombs to go into for his inner contemplation and had his awakening there, I thought it might be a nice catacomb for us to visit. So that's why we're going to Saint Sebastian. So again, on day two, we'll go to the Colosseum first, contemplate the way the ego mind is, and then we'll go into the catacombs and contemplate with the heart. There are, by the way, two tours that you can choose from. There's a 9-day tour, which begins on October 20th, leaving the United States on October 19th, but arriving in Rome on October 20th and then leaving Rome on October 28th. Or you can stay for an extended tour, which really focuses on Assisi and leaves Rome on November 2nd. That's a 14-day tour. You can find out about both of these tours, the full itinerary, prices, all necessary information at our website, awakening-together.org, under retreats and classes, and then under retreats. It'll be the Italy pilgrimage in October. Also, we do have some $1,000 scholarships available for specifically, and the deadline to apply for a scholarship is this coming Friday, April 20th. It's very easy to apply for a scholarship. You'll find that right there on the same page on our website underneath retreats. So if you're interested in applying for a scholarship, please make sure you do so by Friday. Previously, we have announced that our April movie for the movies discussion group is Faith Like Potatoes. But recently, we decided it would be a good idea if we move that movie to May and skip. We're not going to have a movie discussion group this month. And the reason is this coming weekend, I will be in Ireland, and Jacqueline is going to be moving, woohoo, from Indiana to. Pueblo, West Colorado. So we're both kind of not available, and on the night when the movie discussion group, which would usually happen, which is next Sunday. So when this kind of hit us, the way things were landing, we decided that we should put the movie off for another month. So Faith Like Potatoes is going to be our movie for the movie discussion group on the fourth Sunday in May, which is May 27th. I just want to tell you all, just in case you haven't watched it yet, Faith Like Potatoes is a Christian movie. And you're going to hear a lot of Christian ideas. But just as the mystics have, you can look beyond those Christian ideas, look through those Christian ideas, and find things that are extremely, extremely helpful. In fact, I've already watched the movie and I made my notes, and I have about 20 different key notes, I think, that are really important for us. So, if you're put off by the Christianity, maybe just, do some inquiry about that. Because any judgment is a judgment, right? And then look beyond the Christianity to find out what's there to be helpful to you. And I noticed Angelica said she watched it on YouTube. You can also find it on Amazon. That's where I found it. And it's also available on Vudu. So Amazon, YouTube, and Vudu. Also, tonight is our monthly satsang. And our satsang this month is with Joan Tollefson. Joan Tollefson has roots in Buddhism and Advaita, but she belongs to no formal tradition. She is interested in seeing through the imaginary problems that we think are binding us and waking up to the aliveness of this moment exactly as it is. The description that Jacqueline wrote says Joan's bare bones approach is open, direct, immediate, and down to earth. She invites a meditative exploration that is non-methodical and awareness-based, encouraging people to look and listen for themselves and to question all secondhand ideas and beliefs. Really sounds wonderful. So tonight, be here at 7:30 Eastern Time, which is 4:30 Pacific, in order to hear the satsang, which is Jacqueline's interview of Joan Tollefson. And that concludes our announcements. So what I'm going to do now is play a song in order to transition from our announcements to the devotional part of our service. And the name of the song is People Get Ready. So we're getting ready for the devotional part of our service. The artist is Eva Cassidy.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to reduce who's a-homing. Don't forget, you just thank the Lord, passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's room for all of the love and all the yeah. Thank you. for the hopeless sinner who's hard on mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those with chances at dinner, 'cause there's no hiding place for the king.
Let's go into prayer. I'll begin with silence until the prayer. Self-honesty is an important part of the spiritual path. And yet it seems that one thing that is common in spirituality is lying to oneself. Denial, not looking honestly. And of course that makes perfect sense because the ego, which is our resistance to this, to spiritual awakening, would attempt to thwart our awakening in any way possible. And a self-honesty is one of the most important keys. Then the ego, the mind, the thinking is going to block that with our desire to be special, our desire to be good. Recognizing that as long as our desire is not pure, as long as our desire is mixed, we may have a desire for awakening, but we may also still have a desire to be special or a desire to be good in order to cover up that belief that we have that we're bad. We recognize that mixed desires make self-honesty difficult. Pure desire, self-honesty is natural. And so we pray that we may see where our desires are still mixed, so that we can let go of that which isn't what's most important to us and be fully focused on one desire now, completely self-honest with ourselves. Amen. All right, so our reading today is coming from NTI. It's a reading that you all, many of you all, have read recently. It's NTI Luke chapter 11. It's actually only an excerpt from that chapter because that's a pretty long chapter. If you want to read along with Rev Wanda, who is going to be our reader, you can open up to page 149 in NTI, and the reading begins near the bottom of page 149 with verses 14 to 28. And again, Reverend Wanda Almonte will be our reader today. So, Wanda, I am turning the mic over to you.
Can you hear me? Perfect. Thank you. Esther from NTA Luke chapter 11. Your mind is split. Within you there is a great willingness to do all that I ask you to do. And within you there is a great resistance that guides you away from the practice I ask you to seek. Let us look at your resistance, that you might be aware of its ploy. Then you will be able to recognize it and choose, not with your resistance, but with your willingness. Your resistance will distract you away from me. It will give you thoughts that seem to be thoughts, problems to think through and solve. It will give you things to do that must be done if you are to be seen as worthy by the outside world. It will throw confusion at you so that once seems clear, when you hear my word, becomes smaller and unclear. So you are unsure what to do. It will ask questions and you will seem to need to know the answers in order to put your trust in me. And so you will go out in search of satisfactory answers when satisfactory answers cannot be found. It will offer you diversions that seems to bring great joy and pleasure into your life within the world. It will bring doubt into your mind so that you will have a desire to find out what is true without giving of your trust. What are you to do when tempted by your own resistance? Notice it for what it is. Do not let it disguise itself as something important. See it as resistant and call it by its name. Then give it to me, backed by the strength of your willingness. Together, we will redirect your attention to the path you have set out on. Blessed are those who hear my word and heed in willingness and joy. Your resistance is nothing more than your desire to keep things the same, to keep things as you see them now. And you desire this because you desire safety, and you think there is safety in the security you have made. And yet, you fear yourself what you have made also. You are safe, but you are not secure, for security knows no illusion of fear. Let me lead you to both safety and security, which is not through the knowledge of your safety. Safety comes from the guarantee of who you are. The knowledge of your safety takes away all image of fear. In knowing yourself, you can know no fear. This is the light that shines from within to shine on everything you see, to shine away of all image darkness, and to show you only peace, love, and joy. This is the light you shall share with all the world through your natural love of light. Resistance will sometimes seem to be the light, and so you must listen closely with your own mind, that you know where your instructions and desires come from. Resistance will sometimes be subtle, and so you must listen closely within your mind so that you know where your instruction and desires come from. A useful question to ask whenever you're prompted to fill your time with anything is, what is this for? When you ask, remember the purpose of time.
It is for healing your mind. This is its only purpose. If you're using time for any other purpose, you are not using time at all. Ask, what is it for? And listen honestly for your reply. Any answer other than the healing of your own mind is what a delay in your purpose of your healing. Anything that is not a part of your purpose is a part of nothing. So if you ask, what is it for? And you find that you have given this thing another purpose, then ask yourself, what do I want? When you answer this question, answer of your heart, you find the meaning and willingness to change the purpose of the current time. And this change is for a correction brought about by your Holy Spirit, which knows your purpose and knows what time is for.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Rev. Wanda. And it was wonderful to hear your voice in the sanctuary again. resistance. It's funny because I feel a little funny starting into this sharing because I feel like for most of us, resistance, we know what resistance is. Knowing what resistance is common sense. Like there's nothing to teach here. But I also feel that even though we know what resistance is, we still allow ourselves to be blind to it a lot of the time. And so even though we know what resistance is, it's good just to have this 20 minutes or so kind of reflect on resistance, pay attention, you know, to what resistance is, so that after this 20 minutes of reflecting on resistance, maybe we can be a little more vigilant in catching resistance in our own minds and letting it go. So I feel a little funny because, you know, you've heard the term preaching to the choir. You know, I don't feel like I have anything to, quote, teach here. I don't think I'm going to say anything you don't already know. The real purpose, again, is just for us to be with this a little longer so we can become a little more vigilant in catching our own resistance. Yeah, reinforcement. So it's interesting how NTI Luke chapter 11 teaches resistance. Because basically resistance is thinking like most humans think. That's resistance. In fact, if you all are familiar with the teachings of Inner Ramana, you might remember at the end of the teachings of Inner Ramana, there is a message. I'm going to type in RDA, but that's not me in this case. It's not Regina Don Akers. RDA stands for resistor, doubter, and abiding. Those are three states of mind that Inner Ramana teaches about. And the resistor is the average human in the world. It's the way the average person thinks. They identify with their body, mind, personality completely. They don't doubt at all that this person is who they are. They believe all of the thoughts that come into the mind. They act on those thoughts. They feel whatever emotions those thoughts are invoking. And the reason that's called the resistor is because it's fully resisting our truth. And so, whenever we are thinking, just like, you know, what other people would consider normal, like the normal human, we're in resistance. We are fully resisting our truth. So that means if there's a shortage of money in the checking account this month, and I start thinking about, oh my goodness, how can I do this and how can I do this? And my mind is really thinking about, can I move this around? Can I transfer this? Can I put this bill off so that I can pay this bill? Can I call so-and-so and maybe borrow some money? Can, you know, all of that thinking, which most people would say is completely normal. My gosh, you don't have enough money to pay your bills this month. It's completely normal for the mind to think about that constantly. That's resistance. See, resistance is being what most people would call normal. And this is why we need to spend a little more time just contemplating what resistance is, because of course in this world it's easy to be what most people would call normal. It's easy to worry about things that most people worry about. It's easy to try and solve the problems that most people would try and solve. It's easy to get upset about the things that everybody else is upset about, right? it's like we live in a world that is at the vibration of resistance. And so it's very easy to be caught up in that vibration and not even notice. Let me share a couple other ideas with you, and then we'll come back to resistance. Two other words that are used are faith and trust. I want to talk about those two words for a moment, and I think that will help us to see resistance a little more clearly. If you're in gentle healing, you've already read some tips where I've defined faith and trust, but I'm going to go back and do that again. Not only are there people here who aren't in gentle healing, but, you know, the mind forgets these things, right? So faith really has three primary components to it. First, faith is trusting the healing process as well as having confidence that awakening is certain. Faith is also having confidence in a benevolent power beyond what your senses or your mind can know. Faith like potatoes. That's what that movie's all about. Having confidence in a benevolent power beyond what your senses or mind can know. And faith also includes accepting that all is well regardless of the appearance, regardless of the fact that you don't seem to have enough money to pay the bills this month. Faith is feeling that all is well. So again, faith has three primary components to it. The first component, trusting the healing process while having confidence that awakening is certain. Also having confidence in a benevolent universal power that is beyond what your senses or your mind can know, and accepting that all is well regardless of the appearance. All right, now let's look at trust, and then we'll put the two together. Trust is assured reliance on the benevolence of the universe and the current moment's guidance. Assured reliance on. In other words, faith is a general attitude through which we view our life's circumstances and the world, right? We see, remember, we always see through the filter of our mind. And so if we choose faith as our general attitude, we see through faith. So that means if I have faith, when I checkbook and I notice there's not enough money to pay the bills this month, there's this feeling that all is well, right? All is well, even now, all is well. Also, faith, remember, includes trusting the healing process and having confidence that awakening is certain. So that means if there's any fear in me, then I trust. A part of faith is trusting that the situation has arisen in order to help me heal my mind. It's a gift, Right? That's the general attitude of faith. That's how we view the world. But trust is kind of taking it one step more. Trust is assured reliance. In other words, trust is living and acting from that faith and being totally dependent on intuition and universal spontaneity. So you could say trust is the follow-through of faith. Faith is the perspective, and then trust is acting or not acting, sometimes doing absolutely nothing, based on that perspective, right? So you know you've heard the biblical statement, faith without works is dead. You know, we also say faith without follow-through is dead, or that faith without trust is dead. In other words, in order to say, okay, I don't have enough money here. I see I don't have enough money here. Though this is for the healing of my mind, I know that all is well, even though I can't really see that right now. And then to continue to let the mind spin and spin and spin, how can I fix this and believe it? My mind may spin, but and believe it and follow each of the mind's suggestions and just be a slave to the mind, that kind of faith is dead. Right? That's faith without follow-through. That's faith without trust. So faith and trust go together. One who trusts, now remember, when we trust, we have assured reliance on the benevolence of the universe and the current moment's guidance. That you're really dependent upon. So that means when we have trust, we are totally dependent on intuition and universal spontaneity. The way that would work is when I look at my checkbook and I see that there's not enough money to get me through the rest of the month, you know, I stay in the moment. So it would depend on what's happening with as to what would happen. If there's a little fear, if a little fear shows up, well, then the way trust might work is, okay, I see some fear here. You know, what am I to do? And, you know, the guidance might be journal. The guidance might be go directly into rust, accept, and trust, right? The guidance is not going to be call your friends and see if you can borrow some money. You see, that's not the way guidance works. So if I'm living on trust, I'm going to look at the current moment's guidance, and I'm just going to follow that guidance, and I'm going to have faith, all is well, I just need to stay in trust. Is this making sense? So when we trust, we are totally dependent on our current moment's intuition combined with universal spontaneity. This is the having confident, benevolent power beyond what our senses or mind can know. Something else can come into play that I could not have imagined or projected or made happen, right? So again, with trust, I am totally reliant on, totally dependent on my intuition and then the spontaneity of the universe. I don't hear thinking listed there, do you? Right? My intuition and the spontaneity of the universe, right? That's living on trust, is being dependent on those two. In fact, to rely on thinking, which is considered normal in this world, that's what the resistors do, right? To rely on thinking is actually not to trust. The reason I go to my thinking and the reason I try and figure everything out is because I don't trust intuition. I don't trust the spontaneity of the universe. I rely on my thinking because I don't trust. When I don't trust, that means I fear. In other words, I rely on my thinking because I fear. Now tell me, do you think fear is more directly related to resistance or willingness? You know, I think if we had a little game here where we matched things up, we would all put fear and resistance together. We would put willingness, faith, and trust together. Do you agree? Yeah, Jay says, this is perfect, Jay. Jay says, I realize just now I have a choice to think or to trust. That's what NTI Luke chapter 11 is attempting to point out, that when we rely on our thinking, we are in resistance. I mean, listen again. I know you guys have read this yourself and Wanda just read it to you, but listen again. Your resistance will distract you away from me. It will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought. Right there, it's the very first thing. It's thinking. It will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought. It will give you problems to think through and solve. Right? It will also give you things to do that must be done if you are to be seen as worthy. Do you see how you're trying to control there? Whether it's cleaning your house or finishing a project on time or whatever it is. If there's fear behind, there's thinking behind it. It's not just occurring naturally through trust, through intuition, and the help of the universe. There's thinking around, how can I get this done so that everyone else will see me as worthy? Right? It will throw confusion at you. In other words, confusion, the way you experience confusion is, and here it's really talking about spiritual confusion, because it says it will throw confusion at you so that what once seemed clear when you heard my word becomes muddled and unclear. So it's talking about spiritual confusion here. And spiritual confusion comes from thinking about the spiritual principles. When we rely on intuition, we understand the spiritual principles in the current moment perfectly. We know, you know, what am I to do now? Rest, accept, and trust. And we can feel what that means, right? But thinking, when we get into thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm scared, what am I to do? Let's see, Regina said rest, accept, and trust. What the heck was rest? I don't remember. You see, the thinking can't grasp the simplicity of the spiritual teaching, which the intuition, you would intuitively know, right? So we get into confusion when we think, try to remember with our minds the spiritual teaching, rather than going to intuition and saying, what am I doing now? So again, it's the thinking that makes us confused. It's also the thinking that has to ask all of these questions. Well, tell me again, how did the separation happen? Or what's the difference between awareness and consciousness? Or, you know, it just keeps asking all of these questions. And the funny thing about the thinking is what's really behind the thinking is fear. It's saying, you know, you can't really trust, you can't really be reliant on intuition and the benevolence of the universe until you have the answers to all these questions. So the question, believing you need the answers to all the questions, believing you need to understand the questions with the mind, actually just keeps you in fear. And what's funny is NTI Luke 11 points out that you think this fear is safety. That's the crazy part. You know, like if you really pay attention, you know you're in fear. But the mind, which is not really paying attention, the mind is not awareness. The mind thinks keeping things exactly as they are, living the way I've always lived, using thinking as my savior, is safety. See, the mind thinks thinking is the savior. Thinking is safety. The mind thinks letting go of thinking, relying on intuition and the benevolence of some universe, oh my God, that's not safety. That's how thinking feels, right? But can you feel the fear in that? Can you feel the difference between fear and trust? Can you just see it? Oh my gosh, I have to figure this out. That's fear. trusting all is well and just relying on intuition and trusting everything will fall into place, that is called not fear. Can you see the difference? So one who trusts does not rely on thinking. One who trusts is totally dependent on current moment intuition and universal, unpredictable, universal spontaneity. The one who relies on thinking does not trust. And not to trust is to live from a state of fear. And again, most people live from this state of fear unconsciously. Most people live in resistance unconsciously. That's why in a Ramana, again going back to the RDA, the resistor, the doubter, and abiding, that's why in a Ramana said that most people in the world are in the resistor state of mind. They live in a state of fear. They are completely resisting reality, truth, who they really are and what everything really is. And without knowing it, regardless of how much they're suffering, it's because they think they're safe in fear. They think thinking will resolve all problems. And the funny thing is, again, and I pointed this out in Gentle Healing, problems can be resolved through fear. You know, it's kind of like it's kind of like going to Vegas and playing the slots, right? Anybody who's ever played the slots for, you know, 20 minutes has won something, right? Like when you play the slots, you know, you do get wins, you know, little wins. That's why you keep playing. It's addictive. You know, you play the slots. Nowadays, you don't get to pull the handle anymore. You push the button, and it spins, and you win a little something, and the bells go off, and you're excited. Then you push the button again. Well, there's a loss. Again, there's a loss. Again, there's a loss. And then, ooh, a win. Now, of course, there's more losses than wins, which is why in the end, you walk away broke. But yeah, intermittent reinforcement. There was enough winning to keep you pushing the button. That's the way thinking is. Thinking does solve some problems. There's enough winning to keep you pushing the button. But if you really, really, really pay attention, really pay attention to all of the problems that thinking comes up with and all of the answers, that you'll see it's just like the slot machine. It's just spinning and spinning and spinning. And the whole time you're paying attention to it, you're actually losing, even though occasionally thinking is right. It's nothing but addiction to the ego. The ego being a false sense of who we are and a false perspective about what the world is. We could call it addiction to a lie. Resistance. It's resisting the truth. And again, RDA. So the resistor is the state of mind of most people in the world today. Now let's just go through the DA before we run out of time. The D is the doubter. The doubter, although that still doesn't sound very good, the doubter is actually progressive, moving towards awakening, because the doubter is beginning to doubt everything it believed before. You know, maybe the mind isn't the best way to live this life. Maybe trusting my mind isn't the best way. Maybe there's another way. Maybe I'm not this body, mind, personality I've always thought I am. Maybe the world isn't as real as I've always thought it was, right? It begins to doubt. It begins to question. It begins to practice inquiry. Now, the doubter also doesn't fully trust truth yet. It also still doubts in that direction. So it's kind of a middle ground. But it's moving forward, because the resistor doesn't doubt the mind at all. But the doubter is beginning to inquire and look and question. The A, abiding, that's when we fully accept that the truth is true and we begin to live with the trust or knowledge, depending on where we are, that the truth is true. So when we're abiding, if we're not yet fully awakened, if we're not in knowledge, we're fully in trust. We have accepted trust as our new way to live. In other words, we are totally dependent on intuition and the unpredictable spontaneity of a benevolent universe. So we've moved beyond doubting. You can move beyond doubting to abiding without being awakened. You just decide to live from trust instead of fear, intuition instead of thinking. So, yeah, it's leaving the casino. Exactly, Cindy. So, the reason that I've brought us back to this, you know, today is so each of us can contemplate what our normal thinking processes really are. Resistance. And then we can ask ourselves, what do I truly want? Do I want to live from these thinking processes, or even though I have no idea how things are going to work out and I'm scared to death, would I prefer to move into faith and trust anyway? Because you know, the funny thing is, the only way to move into abiding is to move into abiding. That's the only way to do it. At some point, we all have to take that step and say, that's okay, I'm going to start living this way anyway. And then by doing it, you find out that it works. Again, the mind wants proof that it's going to work before I do it, right? The mind keeps us in fear. Proof that it's going to work if I trust before I move into trust. That's resistance. We have to have the willingness to step into trust. Actually live from trust instead of thinking, and learn through the living that it works. So I think I'm going to play a song. This is a song that Meg actually sent to me. I don't know when she sent it to me. I saw it this morning, and I listened to it this morning, and I thought, oh, that's perfect. What you'll hear in this song is some thinking. Some of the thoughts may sound familiar. So you'll hear the singers just singing some sentences of thought. But then you'll hear the artists saying, please take these thoughts. Because, of course, there's a recognition that this thinking is resistance. So this is Chris and Thomas, and the name of this song is Take These Thoughts. Now, of course, if you feel a prompt to donate to Awakening Together, you can do that either during the song or after the service. Kim will give you a link. But what we really want to do while we're listening to this song is contemplate that our normal thinking, the thinking that we've always perceived as normal, the thinking that everybody else in the world perceives as normal, is actually resistance. And we want to contemplate, I want to continue to resist the truth. Or am I ready to let go of these thoughts, let go of this thinking, and live by trust instead? So here we go. Take These Thoughts by Chris and Tom.
And
just the way I plead to Peggy's thoughts. Put a mini bags. Take these stars. They're heavy and narrow. Don't let them steal your soul.
Song, huh? And I want to read Meg's email to you, the one that I received this morning. In fact, it looks like she sent it yesterday, but I was out playing yesterday. She sent it yesterday evening, but I saw it this morning. It says, "Hi, Regina. I hope this finds you well. This song came through a station on Pandora I was listening to, and I got Send This to Regina. I fell in love with it a little. It does all the right things for these ears anyway. It's a song of having thoughts and then asking for the let go. They just make it sound really beautiful. Maybe you're supposed to enjoy it too. Good night, Meg." But you can tell she doesn't know why she's sending it to me, huh? But she trusts the intuition. And it was perfect, perfect, perfect for today's weekly gathering. So you see, that's an example of trust, right? A simple example of trust. And if everyone lived in trust, right? If everyone stayed in touch with intuition and lived in trust instead of fear, we would all hand each one exactly the right thing at the right time. The entire world would be in perfect harmony. What messes it up is that instead of living in intuition and trust, we live in fear and thinking. And thinking is individualistic and selfish and based on a perspective that you alone hold. Therefore, it's out of harmony, right? So we're in that part of the service now where you all get to share based on today's reading and today's talk. And I see Jay's hand is up right away. So Jay, the mic is yours.
Yeah, that was awesome, Regina. Thank you. I really felt like I heard something new in your talk today. And I wrote it on the board, and it was the simple realization that I have the choice to either think or trust. And I don't know if I've quite thought of it that way. And I think that my mind wasn't ready for that particular phrase until just this morning. But, you know, I've been thinking about letting go of a lot of books recently and just simplifying. Like, I've got a ton of books on my shelf that I've accumulated over time. Some of them are given to me by my mother, as well as just different studies I've gone through and stuff. And, you know, shedding thinking, I'm just not wanting to see that reminder around me all the time. So, and also a story recently where I was at a client site last week. And I didn't bring my phone with me. I got a little turned around in the sort of suburb area that I was in. And I was going out to grab a bite to eat. So I realized I was a little lost. And so I just laughed to myself and said, I'm just going to use present intuition to guide me to a lunch spot. So I just stilled my mind, and I got my GPS turning instructions from Spirit. And within about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, I was right in front of a very large strip mall of restaurants. So I had my choice. So I just, in a very practical way, I think just present moment intuition is helpful. But I just thought I'd share that story. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Well, I mentioned that the first thing we're going to do on day two in Italy is go to the Colosseum. I've been to the Colosseum before. I think I was probably around 25, 26 years old. And I was traveling through Europe on a Eurorail pass with a girlfriend. And, you know, we got off the train there, and I think some guy led us to a pension where we dropped off our bags. And probably like many other tourists, the first thing we wanted to see was the Colosseum. We didn't have a map of Rome. We didn't know anything about Rome. And we just started walking, and I would feel, okay, let's turn here. And then we'd walk and walk and walk and walk and walk, and then I'd feel, okay, let's turn here. It was really only about 3 turns, although it was probably about a 3-mile walk. But just by turning, when I felt like turning, we turned this one corner, and we came out, and there it was, the Colosseum. And I remember being amazed that you know, I wanted to see the Colosseum, and intuition led us directly to the Colosseum. So, yeah. There's someone else who would like to share based on today's talk. All right, Christina, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Jay, for great service. Anyway, I've been to Italy many times, and I remember the first time I went, say like 15 years ago, and I never been to Italy, and I was guided. It was such a beautiful day. Of course, you know, the trip is long, and we flew there, and this friend of mine and me went, we got some Italian espresso, and we went walking. And I just prayed before I went anywhere. And we were guided to this church, something with Maria. Anyway, like Maria Maggiore or something like that. And so, you know, a beautiful, big church. Of course, Rome is loaded with all kinds of churches. And I was guided to go, there was like steps that went below the altar. Yeah, I think the major Basilica of Maria. Anyway, and there was a pew there. I knelt down and I just started praying. And I'll tell you, I was like infused with the light of God. It was so powerful. All the jet lag and everything just disappeared. I was like injected with the light of God. And so I must have been there for a while because I lost track of any time or space or anything like that. And there was a little box in front of me. And I had my head down. And I didn't read Latin, so I didn't know what it was. But this friend of mine that was with me, he said, Christina, do you want to know what that is? And I said, yeah. So his name was Wilfredo. He came over, he read it for me, and he says, this is the original piece of the cross that Christ carried. I went, wow. I said, no wonder. I was so full of divine energy. There was no jet lag, nothing. It was just that holy instant, that moment. There was no time, no space, nothing. I felt like I've never felt before on this earth. It was just out of this world, really. So much divine energy. So, you know, through prayer and in gratitude, last month I had a vision of my angel who came to my kitchen, and I just, my prayer before that was, God, I just want you. I just want you. I want Christ. I want the Holy Spirit. That's all I want. And an angel appeared right here in my kitchen. I think Dove has it on his site, and then Prudence has it on Facebook on her site. I'm just in such gratitude and joy and peace. I'm just so grateful of this divine presence and power of our Creator. Yeah, and practicing. Any thoughts, or we call them, what do we call them in AA? Kooky thoughts, crazy thoughts. You know, so practicing the presence. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. Kooky thoughts. That's good. And I noticed that Kathy also has her hand up, but we like to end our weekly gathering on time. So what I'm going to do is play the song that ends our gathering. And then Kathy and Angelica, you guys can share as part of the sharing time that follows, the fellowship time. So the song that I have selected for ending our service today is by Lauren Daigle, and it is called Trust in You. And it's a reminder, because I know we all want to choose the trust rather than the thinking. I know who we are. So this is just a reminder that we want to live in trust.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I'll try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Me, warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When I will trust in you.
truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So when all things be my life and breath, I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less.
When you don't move the mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the water, I wish I could.
One of the great things about that song, Lauren Daigle, Trust in You, is that she says, basically, you know, even when I'm trusting you, and then things don't go all the way I think they should, I'm still going to trust in you, right? Like this is a decision for abiding. This is a decision for abiding in trust instead of thinking. All is well, right? It's all perfect, no matter what it looks like. So what I am going to do is release the mic and turn it over to Rebecca. And again, the sharing can continue. I see Angelica still has her hand up. Maybe Kathy will want to put her hand back up. But this is the official ending of today's weekly gathering, and we move into our fellowship time. Thanks for coming, everyone. Bye.